Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Welcome to this week's Man on the Post Extra Time. I am El Hoster Chris. With me this week, I've got Nathan Sava.
Hello.
You all right?
I am good. How are you?
Cracking, thank you very much. I've got Emma.
Hi.
How are you?
Yeah, fine.
Good. And I've got Jesse Budo Estente.
Oh, hola, my friend.
How are you?
I'm good. It's finally Friday.
It is. I've had the joy of clocking off a couple of hours ago. Are you just clocking off now?
No, I believe that I just work at all times now, and so it never really ends or starts. I just decided to take this moment to talk to you guys so that I could then plunge back into work and despair afterwards.
Like a cop in the movies.
Yeah, that's me. I'm a movie detective.
You don't do a 9-to-5. You do all these other hours and things.
Ugh.
That's
horrendous, and I hate it.
Oh dear. Well, can I improve your mood with some football talk?
Only if it's good.
Well, we've got the FA Cup. We've got some news about Paul Pogba. We've got bits and bobs of leagues, and we've got some Champions League action from around the world. How does that sound?
That sounds okay. I'm okay with that.
All right.
Poor Paul Pogba, which is so hard to say. Wow.
Paul Pogba, yeah.
Poor Paul Pogba, yeah, that's, yeah.
So starting Monday night in the FA Cup, Coventry 5, Maidstone 0. Maidstone from the National League South, the sixth tier. They failed to be the second sixth tier team in history in 109 years to get to the quarterfinals. They've beaten league teams Barrow, Stevenage and Ipswich on the way to the last 16. They lost to a Ellis Sims hat-trick and a Travers brace as well. They're the first team outside the top five divisions to get to the last 16 since Blyth Spartans in 1978. Their run began in September when they played ninth tier Staining Town FC, who I think are on the south coast. George Akobi, he told the Maidstone players to sort of enjoy themselves and sort of spend a bit of time filming their surroundings, because this is one to tell the grandchildren about despite the result. Nathan, did you watch the highlights of this?
I did not know that there was a game on Monday night, so no, I did not.
Did you not?
This one's completely caught me out.
It did surprise me. I thought midweek FA Cup games were quite fun, actually, because you're all out under the lights and all that sort of thing. So Maidstone took a fair few fans with them, so good on them. Ladies, did either of you see this?
No, I did not. Okay. Nor was I aware of it.
The FA Cup is against my religion.
Mm.
What religion is that?
No cups.
Okay.
No cups.
Actually, surely being Catholic, you're all about idolatry and cups, aren't you? Surely, if you were about no cups, you'd be a Puritan.
I'm not a Catholic.
Are you not?
I'm absolutely not.
Okay, well, no wonder you're about no cups then.
Are you stereotyping her because of
he was a little bit. Yeah.
Well, I did assume that living in a Catholic country, you would be a Catholic.
That doesn't make you Catholic.
No, that is certainly true.
A proper Inquisition in a while. They're letting other people
in.
Yeah. What would have happened to you in the 1500s?
Don't make us bring it back.
Well, no, if they brought it back, that would be bad news for you.
Yeah, I'll get out of there, don't worry.
Yeah, okay. Tuesday, Luton 2, Manchester City 6. Erling Haaland, 5 goals. And a goal from Kovacic, a couple of goals from Clark for Luton Town. Erling Haaland's 8th Manchester City hat-trick. He's got 79 goals in 83 games for Manchester City. Kevin De Bruyne assisted the first 4 goals. And I just wanted to draw your attention, because there was an article in The Guardian this week. It was 25 years since the last All English Premier League 11 were made up of entirely English players. It's the last time that happened was in 1998, and they did a little piece on that, and they did say it's nice to know that someone called Kevin is still the best player in the Premier League.
Adam, there are so many Kevins lately. Like, there's Kevin in the Uruguayan league. There's Kevin McAllister. Like, I feel like just Kevin has sort of gone out of control.
And the gerbil.
The what?
Kevin the gerbil. I think I'm probably the only one old enough to remember Kevin the gerbil.
I don't know what that is. Is that a player?
No, he was a puppet on Roland Rat. Roland Rat, Nathan, am I too...
I remember Roland Rat. I don't remember the gerbil.
Kevin the gerbil was his cousin.
You had shows about rodents?
Well, they were puppet rodents. Roland Rat was like this rat who... What? He thought he was like some sort of pop star. He wore sunglasses and went, hey, rat fans! That was how he talked.
But Emma, we did too. We had the Muppets. There was Rizzo.
Yeah, that's
rat.
True.
Yeah.
We had Muppets as well.
Well, okay.
We did have Zig and Zag. Do you remember Zig and Zag, Nathan?
I do. This has gone so nice.
Zig and Zag are two of the greatest puppets ever. You have to go on YouTube and put in Zig and Zag Robin Williams, and it's just...
I don't even want to know what that's going to come
up. If it's Robin Williams, I do.
Well, yeah, you do. It's basically a TV show, a sort of breakfast morning show in the 90s called The Big Breakfast, and Zig and Zag were these two puppets who they were like little space aliens, but they had like a sort of 10-minute slot to themselves. It was like a children's thing, but it was like children's but being a bit edgy, because they'd have adult grown-up guests on. And one of them one week was it was a bit anarchic, but one week Robin Williams was on, and it was just absolutely fabulous. It was just incredibly good. Yes, anyway, Jack Grealish shot injured in the first half. Luton had 14 shots despite the fact that City scored six. Yeah, it was lovely, wasn't it? Who saw this one?
I've watched the highlights.
And what did you think?
I thought that it was a nightmare for fantasy Premier League managers, with Haaland scoring five and De Bruyne with four assists. There would have been some truly outrageous scores had this been a Premier League game.
I didn't think Luton played that bad, actually.
No, I've put down Luton goalkeeper really bad, question mark.
Yes, it was Tim Krul.
I just thought that some of the shots he could have done better with.
Yeah,
I thought there was a couple of he could have done better, I thought.
There was one that was low down that hit his foot and rebounded into the net. I remember looking at that one. Yeah, that was Tim Krul in goal. Normally, I can't remember the guy's name, but normally they've got a pretty decent keeper in the league.
Right, well, that would explain quite a lot, because I thought at least three of them were achievable saves.
Yeah.
It didn't happen.
No, fair enough.
Yeah, two quick points. Mm-hmm. Haaland and De Bruyne are linking up at this stage of the season is terrifying for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no need. John Stones played a pass to De Bruyne, who then slipped it across for Haaland. I think it was City's four. If you can have a look at John Stones' pass,
yes,
it's like the pass before the assist.
Yeah,
that was fantastic.
Sorry, go.
I was going to say, shout out for Clark's first goal, that 25-yarder into the top corner.
Yes, that was a lovely goal.
With that.
John Stones got a touch of the Tommy Shelby's about him.
Yeah, he has a little bit on it. To be fair, it's a good shout.
Blackburn won, Newcastle once. The fabulous name Sammy Smodix. He equalised. It was a brilliant goal. This, did you see this one? He sort of the ball got smashed and it bounced the underside of the crossbar, came out, sort of cleared a little bit, and then he walloped it away. It was like a proper low league goal. It was, and then Anthony Gordon had opened the scoring with the first goal. Newcastle were 4-3 on penalties. Martin Dubravka saved from Sammy Smodix and Dominic Hyam, the Blackburn keeper. Anyhow, quote-unquote relief, and he says it keeps us in a competition we're desperate to do well in. I've written here, Emma, is this Newcastle season, question mark?
Don't they have Manchester City in the next round?
They probably do.
Okay. Just huge no, then.
Fair enough. Well, I mean, what is their season afterwards? They're not going to get in the Champions League, are they?
They have so much money, they're fine.
Yeah.
But that brings the pressure, doesn't it? They've got all this money and there's expectation on how to perform, which if you can't get the teams into Europe, is quite literally for the chop.
Is it hard when there's expectation to perform?
Is it what? Sorry.
is it hard when there's expectation to perform?
As you get older, yes. Enjoy it while you can, Nathan.
Yeah. I think I'm slowly slipping in.
That's got real.
Yeah. Also on Tuesday night was Bournemouth versus Leicester. Abdul Fatawu scored with the goal in extra time. It was a really nice goal, actually. He sort of came running down the wing, cut inside from the right wing and curled it into the with his left boot into the top right corner. Wednesday, Chelsea 3, Leeds 2. Mateo Joseph, who I found out earlier on, was his daddy's Emil Heskey's cousin. He opened the scoring. Leeds equalised through goal and then took the lead through goals from Nicholas Jackson and Mekhi Mudryk before Joseph scored again. And then Conor Gallagher in the 90th minute, he scored the winning goal there. Joseph did have a chance with a header to get a hat-trick and give Leeds a third goal. Unfortunately, he didn't take it. Conor Gallagher said, quote, "It's been a tough few days."
Really important question.
Yes, you did. Go on.
This is an incredibly important and relevant question. And again, I just want to do a caveat that even though I do know things about football, that's apparently never clear when I'm on this podcast. And here goes again. So is Mudrić's neck tattoo the worst? Or do we think that he has competition? Go forth.
Well, I will hand this over to Emma, who's been vocal about tattoos in the WhatsApp group this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I'm particularly asking this group, because I know that you're both invested and expert.
I really am now.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as a good neck tattoo. They're all
that's
bad.
That's correct. That
like
is scientifically
across the board,
true, yeah. Yeah.
Those people should be avoided.
Correct.
I think Ederson's are probably worse. I mean,
yeah,
they're
I think
bad,
Ederson
aren't they?
Ederson has had his for so long that I sort of stopped. Also, I love my Richarlison so much, but his is really upsetting.
What about back of the neck tattoos, like David Beckham's?
Back of the neck tattoo, it has like a different vibe. That has more of a like, I grew up wanting to be David Beckham.
Yeah.
And this is what I think footballers get. Oh, by the way, is there any other neck tattoo than just wings?
Probably
like,
not.
That's what I think, yeah.
Okay.
I once had a date with somebody named Snake. And
did
his
you?
Name was Snake because, yeah, he had the word, it was an accident. He had the word snake tattooed on his face, and then he had a snake tattooed on his neck.
Wait, on
it
his
was lovely.
Face?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Mm-hmm.
Was he?
Yeah, but he was very nice, and he took me home on his skateboard.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of true.
Were you in high school?
No, I was way too old to have done this, but I didn't really know how to say no to anyone, and you know what? It turned out lovely. He said I had a cute dog, and that's how I wound up going on this date with him.
Okay. So, Snake, yeah. Was his surname Plitzkin, or was his full name Jake the...
I think his full name was just Snake. Like, that was his name.
Oh, really? Like a... Just like Slash?
Madonna.
Yeah, or Madonna, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, exactly. Yes, yes, yeah.
Oh, okay. Mauricio Pochettino said the Gary Neville quote of the billion-pound bottle jobs was, quote, not fair. I've listened to Gary Neville on the Overlap podcast this week, and he sort of rode back a little bit on this, thinking it probably was a little bit unfair, because he came in for a bit of criticism from Roy Keane and some of the others on that podcast.
I don't think it is unfair.
You
I think
don't
it's
think
harsh,
it...
harsh,
yeah?
But I don't think it's unfair.
Well, that's a good point. A good distinction.
What's the difference between being harsh and unfair?
Well, unfair.
You could be harsh and still say the right and still be correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Harsh truths.
Okay.
It's not like there's no evidence to say that they did not bottle it, because they did, didn't they?
Others on the podcast are pointing to the fact that the average age of Chelsea was actually younger than the Liverpool players, and they went into their shells a little bit in extra time, and Roy Keane was saying, do you know what, that's sometimes it happens and it's something you can do. It doesn't mean you bottled it. It just means he's saying it's quite a human reaction rather than.
And I get that, but Pochettino said in his press conference after that they were kind of playing for penalties, and I'm like, well, okay.
Oh, okay.
That's a problem, right?
Well, yeah, unless you're Dynamo Bucharest in 1986 or Red Star Belgrade in 1991, it's not
sure.
Good. what else we got? We got Nottingham Forest 0, Manchester United 1, Casemiro in the 89th minute. I've written Erik ten Hag's Fergie 1990 moment, but I guess I'm the only one that would get that reference, am I?
No. I get the reference.
Do you? Perfect. In 1990, Manchester United were, Alex Ferguson had been at the club for a few years. They hadn't really progressed very far, and it was a third round FA Cup replay against Nottingham Forest. And perceived wisdom was, if Manchester United lost that game, that was pretty much their season over and Fergie would be sacked. They won it in extra time thanks to Mark Robins' goal, and the rest is history. So, which is why I've written this.
Ten Hag's still getting sacked.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah.
And he should.
He should?
Yeah.
Why is that?
He should.
Why?
Because he has done... He hasn't even managed to maintain status quo. He's just sort of slowed
made
down.
Made it worse.
Yeah, in a slow, like, more painful way. He hasn't really nurtured any players.
Mm-hmm.
And he's played rapist, obviously. Like,
mm-hmm.
What has he done? Like, he's been a poor caretaker.
Okay. No, that's...
And he was bitching and moaning about the Nottingham Forest players targeting Fernandes.
Oh, yes. Of course you would.
Something about Fulham involved for some reason.
I was going to mention that to you because he said they should apologise for this. Fulham should do. So basically... perceived wisdom was at the weekend when Manchester United lost to Fulham was that Bruno Fernandes was throwing himself to the ground quite a lot. And there was footage of Fernandes throwing himself to the ground, not getting a foul, and then getting up and running after the ball as if, you know, there wasn't anything wrong with him after all, funnily enough. And Fulham made a little TikTok about this on their social media and said, oh, we hope he's okay. Erik ten Hag said, they should apologise for this. And Marco Silva has said today, well, we respect Bruno Fernandes as a player.
I don't respect him at all.
No.
Why don't you respect him?
Because he throws himself on the floor a lot and he never stops complaining. Every time you see him, he's like in the referee's face and you're like, okay.
Can I introduce you to a player by the name of Sergio Busquets?
Not the same.
I'm going to make a bold statement and say that Bruno Fernandes is the most overrated player ever in the Premier League.
Oh, see,
ever?
There you go.
Ever. I cannot stand him. He's got no talent.
No talent
whatsoever. He's a horrible player. He, you know, I understand that the dark side of the game exists. I understand that players will go down because ultimately it's up to the referee to do their job to say whether he has or hasn't done that. I understand that that exists in the game, but what Bruno Fernandes does is ridiculous. He's genuinely one of the worst players on every basis that I've ever seen play the professional game. I cannot stand the man. He brings nothing to the game of football whatsoever.
And he watches Kai Havertz every week.
Yes.
But also defending himself this week is Marcus Rashford of the Players' Tribune. He's upset that people are questioning his commitment to Manchester United, given his recent sojourn over to Belfast and missing training and everything. And he pointed to the fact that given not everyone was pleased with his child-feeding crusade during the pandemic, he said, quote, they've been waiting for me to have a human moment and now they've got their wish.
Right, I'm not being funny, Marcus. Go and perform on the pitch. Stop acting like a petulant child who's so-called, in quote marks, made it. Actually, you know, put some performances, put a bit of effort in on the pitch, and people might not get upset.
Crikey.
I think he needs to leave United, though. I think he's totally right that he's become this, like, whipping boy. There's nothing he could do at this point that would win over those vocal detractors, and he never seems like he's having a good time, and United is trash. I honestly think he needs like a fresh start.
Oh, okay, well maybe he does. Maybe Brighton also need a fresh start. They lost to Wolves. Mario Lemina scored after 2 minutes, and then finally in the FA Cup this week, Liverpool babies 3 Southampton 0. Goals from Lewis Kumas, 2 goals from Jadon Dans. Southampton started well. They had a goal disallowed for offside for a couple of minutes very early, and then they hit the post. And then Gradually, Liverpool came a bit back more into it. Luis Cumas scored. And after that, it was fairly comfortable, although some really, really nice moments as Jayden Danz came on, scored a couple of goals. He said, quote, today's the best day of my life. Apparently, his dad was sobbing his socks off in the crowd. And someone came on for Liverpool who is a mere 6 weeks older than my oldest child. So these people are getting really, really young. Born on the 30th of June. I can't remember his name, unfortunately. I remember he wore number 98. Trey, I can't remember his name. Really sorry. I should have written it down. But he was born 4 days before Fernando Torres signed for Liverpool.
How old is he?
He was born on the 16th of June. The 30th of June, 2007.
No, I cannot do that math. How old is he?
So he's 16 like and a half.
16?
Okay. Thank you. I was watching Gotham City play Cali Deportivo, and a 13-year-old baby scored the winning goal.
I heard about that, yeah. People say it was unfair she was playing.
Yeah, and I think it is illegal. That's past her bedtime. Also, it makes me feel bad about myself.
Well, also, two words, Freddie Adu.
Yeah, look how that turned out.
Exactly.
Children, we should tighten child labor laws and not allow any of this.
Yes. So the quarterfinal draw is Chelsea versus Leicester, Manchester City versus Newcastle, Manchester United versus Liverpool, and Wolves versus Coventry City. Coventry and Leicester flying the flag for teams outside the Premier League. Bits and bobs of news. Paul Pogba, 30-year-old Paul Pogba, has got a 4-year doping ban. He's been suspended since September. He said, quote, when I am free of legal restrictions, all will become clear. He thinks he's going to be going to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. As lots of wags on Twitter have pointed out, these drugs were hardly performance enhancing. What now? yeah, it was quite harsh, but a little bit funny. What now for Paul Pogba? I mean, is that his career over? He'll be 34 by the time he comes back, won't he? Presumably he's going to have his contract cancelled by Juventus.
His career was over after he left United the first time.
He did okay, actually, at Juventus. When he got given the number 10 shirt and he was allowed to sort of express himself a bit more, he did okay. But
actually, do you know what? I've said that. He did perform very well in the World Cup when France won it.
He did.
I think he's a touch on the overrated side.
Was he more or less overrated than Bruno Fernandes?
Yeah.
Less.
Okay.
Because Paul Pogba actually showed moments of genuine quality. I've never seen that from Bruno Fernandes.
I love when Nathan, I've never heard you get like this. I don't know why this gives me joy. Now I want to ask you about other terrible players just to hear this.
Paul Pogba was a world record signing though, Nathan.
Because they all always turn out to be good, don't they?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Surely he's the bigger overrated player if he was the world record signing and flopped at United.
Nathan, no, how do you feel about Famous?
Famine?
About who?
Hamas?
Hamas.
Rodriguez?
Oh, sorry, he said Hamas.
That's what I thought. Wow.
Yeah, okay, Nathan, how do you feel about Hamas?
I mean...
Oh my god, and my brain was still in Spanish and I was like, Hamas, never? What? Okay. Yeah. Edit it out in post.
I do that all the time.
Nathan, do you live in the Rochdale constituency?
It's not a million miles away. It's not my neck of the woods.
What next for Paul Pogba then? I mean, literally, he has to sit out and... I mean, somebody will take a chance in when he gets back, won't he? When he gets back?
Well, doesn't he, like, first do arbitration? Or he can say that he wants arbitration first? So, like, there's a small chance that they'll be like, oh, you're... cold medication is actually fun, or whatever they do it, or you're actually Russian, we'll let it happen. I don't know what they do.
Yeah, quite possibly. Yes, it's I guess it's a shame, isn't it, because this is a player whose career promised so much.
I just don't understand how, like, if, like, truly, I know this maybe it probably will sound really dumb, but how are players like, this is not Maradona, you know, 1994. I'm assuming players get checked all the time. How are they letting this happen?
Can I introduce you to a man called Lance Armstrong?
Well, but like, that's the thing. Now that Lance Armstrong has been, you know, sort of revealed, why would anybody be stupid enough to think that they could get away with it, I guess is my question.
Okay.
The Perfuentes.
Because there are... I read a few... This is going to sound like I've done my own research. Okay, so I have read a bit about the Lance Armstrong thing. I'm quite a cycling fan, so I kind of know a little bit about it. So the drug people, the drug takers are always ahead of the drug testers in both technology and brains, pretty much. Yes, they could turn up to your house randomly and get a sample from you, but there are ways and means of overcoming that. You know, people have patterns of when they turn up and all this sort of stuff, where there are masking agents that you can use. I've always thought that football probably has a hidden doping problem, because you think about Manchester City and PSG sort of financially doping. You think of the Super League that they were dreaming up, and you think even down to footballers diving and cheating for free kicks and penalties, and you think, if they've got these morals about them, why wouldn't they dope?
I think they would. I mean, you're right. I just remembered that Papu Gomez, like, won the World Cup, and then they drug tested him, and that sort of, like, went away, you know.
Mm. And then about that.
We're not really talking about that. And that's a World Cup winner. So, but I guess I would, this is terrible, this is so cynical, but, like, my first thought wasn't, how are people doing this morally and ethically, and just, like, the logistics of it. It's so dumb.
I could come at this from a cycling point.
Why would they have to drug in football? You know, it's not like I know nothing about baseball, but it's not like baseball where you have to, like, hit balls with stick, whatever the fuck you do in baseball, where apparently it's, like, endemic.
But if you look at the distances that players cover now on a football pitch during a game compared to 30 years ago,
it's so many more games. Yeah, you're totally right. It's a lot more pressure on their bodies.
Yes, I think so. And I think also, if you look at the financial benefits of getting to the top in professional football these days, and you look at where some of these players come from, there's a lot of pressure on these players to succeed, because they've got a huge amount of extended family who could be in very poor circumstances. And also, why wouldn't you dope? Because if you are clean and you're better than a person that is doping, then that person who's doping is going to get the breaks, because they're faster than you and got more stamina than you, even though you're naturally better than them when you're both clean. So why wouldn't you do it?
I wonder how much.
I think it all comes down to, as well, is what doping is and isn't permitted. So obviously Pogba's took something. You know, whether he's done it on purpose or accidentally, you know, we don't know. We may never know. But, like, obviously, whatever it is that's been found is classed at the moment as, you should not be taking that because it's an enhancement. Now, what you were saying, Chris, about the cyclists are always, like, one step ahead, is it a case of, like, the whole sporting world, in whatever sport you want to look at, looks at a banned substance and goes, well, we can't take that, but I know of this which has similar effects, so, and it's not on a banned list, so actually you can go and take that and still get the same benefit. Do you know what I mean? And then you know, the lawmakers go, actually, that's now banned because we've just figured out that that's not allowed. But by that point, like you said, they're probably already on two or three supplements.
Yeah, cyclists.
The road to replace those.
Cyclists were very good with EPO back in the day. They were very good at knowing when to get their hemocritic levels to the accepted standard. It was like below 50 or something. And it was, they knew when the event was, and they could time it so they could dope in the off racing section, in the training section, and then they would be clean by the time the race came around. So, I mean, they're so wise to it. I'm not saying it's correct, but I can see why human nature would dictate that you would do.
I mean, the other angle on the Pogba thing as well is, a lot of sports people these days have hired people around them who are supposed to look out for this kind of stuff. I'm sure I saw a documentary about some, I can't even give you specifics, but there was a guy who worked for an athlete and his sole purpose was sort of nutrition and things like that, but also to check that whatever he was eating, drinking, tablets he was taking, any medication, anything whatsoever that went into this athlete's body, his sole purpose was to make sure there was nothing on the banned list. So maybe it's just a simple case of someone's dropped a bollock and he's probably going to get sacked if they haven't been already.
Yeah, quite possibly. In other bits of news, Cristiano Ronaldo has been banned for one match for quote-unquote provoking fans as they chanted Lionel Messi towards him. He gestured with his hand towards his genitals.
Oh my God, it's almost like he's not a good guy. He doesn't have any problems.
And he's got a hugely fragile ego. Last month, you may remember in the Asian Cup, the Jordan men's team got to the final and lost to host Qatar 3-0 on penalties. Well, the ladies team have gone one better. Jordan ladies have won the Women's Asian Cup for the sixth time. They beat Nepal on penalties. So go Jordan ladies. Pretty cool. Oceania Champions League second round qualifications. This was the second leg. And it was, bear with me. So Ephira Blackbird won. Classic one. Both teams are from Vanuatu, and Ephira Blackbird go through on a 3-2 aggregate win. Jonathan Spokyjack got the goal that gave Blackbird the win. What a cool name that is. Copa Libertadores, Jesse.
Yes, Chris.
Second legs. Here we go. So, Ripple Bragantino nil. Here we go, pronunciations. Aguilas Dorados of Colombia, am I right?
You're right in the second word.
Yeah.
I actually don't know what your second word is first. Oh,
Aguilas. A-G-U-I-L-A-S. That's what I was trying to do. I was trying to remember that. Aguilas.
I didn't teach you that.
A-G-U-I-L-A-S.
Yeah, he's taught himself that, and it's weird.
Aguilas.
Stop doing Duolingo without
Rebel.
That owl was not sending you in the right direction.
Rebel 1-4-3 on penalties. Atletico Nacional of Colombia nil, Nacional of Paraguay 3. So the Paraguay Nacional, they go through 4 in aggregate. Always ready, Emma, were they?
Ooh, yes.
Well. Wow. They lost 3-1 to Sporting Cristal of Peru.
Oh, they weren't ready.
Well, however, they go through 7-4 and aggregate. They're always ready.
So they were kind of ready.
They're ready.
Yeah. Yay.
They're sometimes ready.
They're sometimes ready. And it wasn't Yaya. It was Colo Colo of Chile. They beat Godoy Cruz of Argentina.
That's not terrible. That is not bad.
G-O-D-O-Y.
No, I got you. Godoy, yeah.
Okay.
I'm okay with it.
Cool. Carola Carola go through 1-0 on aggregate. El Nacional of Ecuador nil. Sportivo Trinidense 1.
Sure. That's good.
Okay. Sportivo go through 2-1 aggregate. Jesse, you might have heard of this team. Nacional of Uruguay.
Yeah.
They beat Academia Puerto Cabello.
Oh, good job with the chop.
Yeah.
Growing.
They beat their Nacional 1-2-0 and 4-0 on aggregate. Palestina beat Portuguesa of Venezuela 2-1 on the night and 4-2 on aggregate. And finally, Botafogo 6, Aurora of Bolivia 0. Junior Santos got 4 goals there for Botafogo. Botafogo go through 7-1 on aggregate. I forgot to say, Sporting Cristal when they beat Always Ready. It was a Martin Cauterucio hat-trick. Quarterfinal of the Women's Gold Cup. Jesse, I've written Mexico beat USA 2-0 for the first time in an incredibly long time.
They did. The Mexican women were fantastic.
Yeah?
Yeah. Really, really solid and strong. And apparently, when you pay your players well and actually give them support, they play well. It's like, who knew?
So is this a full-strength American ladies team, is it?
Sorry?
Is this a full-strength American ladies team?
This, no, they have a bunch of injuries, but this should not have been, this was like, I think they, from what I sort of saw at the World Cup as well, I think, you know, they always expect to win because for a long time, they really didn't have a lot of competition, and they're surprised. Like, they're not going out with the same, with like the respect that they should have for their opponents.
If I were to wait for Mrs. Etchingham, the lucky Mrs. Etchingham, and all the lovely little Etchinghams to go to bed, and I was left downstairs on my own with a laptop at night and decided to watch one of these games, would I see Alex Morgan, or would it, what, should I just go to bed?
I don't know if I should answer that question. I don't know if I want to acknowledge it.
Fair enough. Okay, so quarterfinals is Canada versus Costa Rica, Brazil versus Argentina, Mexico versus Paraguay, and United States versus Colombia. How do you reckon it's going to go?
I love this Colombian team so much, Chris. I love their kits. I love them. I love little Linda Caicedo. I love Usme. I think everybody should watch because they are so much fucking fun. They're a joy.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
If this is the CONCACAF Gold Cup, why are Argentina, Paraguay, and Colombia in it, and Brazil?
Oh, the answer is because the Gold Cup is actually bullshit.
Okay.
Yeah, and when they were doing this, they've been doing this for the men for a million years, and I think it was just their attempt to be like, we want to win another thing.
Okay.
And let's just invite some other folks into this because we don't have a Champions League and or Europa League, so we'll just make like sort of a mashed potato kind of situation.
Okay, okay.
It's an excellent question. Yeah.
Thank you. Thomas Tuchel, his message to the Bayern players following his sacking has been leaked. He said, quote, everyone can show up for the new coach now. Meow. That's pretty...
Did he actually say meow?
Oh, I hope he did, but I was just trying to show a bit catty of him.
Can you do it? Can you do meow in like a German accent?
Everyone can show up for the new coach now. Meow.
That was great. That was well worth it.
No notes.
No notes. 9 notes. IFAB are meeting this weekend at Loch Lomond, which is really nice, isn't it, Nathan? It's for their AGM, and they're going to discuss sin bins. So blue cards won't be there, but they will be discussing the use of sin bins. Johnny Infantino will be there, and afterwards he'll be going to watch St Mirren versus Aberdeen. So he'll be meeting Neil Warnock and Keanu Backus, A-League legend. Sin bins, I think they're possibly coming lower down sooner on later. They are, at least the village where I live, have sin bins. So whatever, I mean, that's like sort of step 11, 12, I think. They're right down the bottom. But sin bins are there, and they do seem to work.
Wait, can I ask for clarification? Because I think the only hockey that I've ever seen has been in movies.
Mm.
This is like, what is the difference between this and a yellow card?
Yellow card is you're allowed to stay on the pitch, aren't you?
Right.
Whereas,
what is the order of operations here? Like, okay, so you're Bruno Fernandes,
mm-hmm.
and you roll around on the floor. What happens to you?
I don't know. This is all going to be discussed this weekend as to how it's going to work. But having seen him in action, I think what happens was I have seen players get issued with a blue card, with a yellow card, and then get sent to the sin bin. And it's a case of getting the players to cool off, really, rather than sort of...
It's like a safe place in preschool.
Yes!
So,
okay. Like a timeout pad.
Would I have to do, like, some breathing techniques? Is there going to be, like, something fluffy for them to squeeze?
No, when I've seen it... When I've seen it, normally they sit and chunter on the touchline. I have seen someone be sin binned, chunter for 10 minutes, go back on, and then give the referee a mouthful and get sent straight back off again. That was brilliant.
Obviously, they need a good talking stick,
yeah.
And they need to do some rainbow breaths.
What are they?
Rainbow breath is really important. They should really hire preschool teachers to deal with this instead of Infantino.
Okay.
A rainbow breath is where you breathe all your mad and your sad and your big feelings in.
Mm-hmm.
And then, with your arms, obviously, doing a rainbow, you breathe all your big feelings out of your body.
Your butt.
Your body?
Oh, body. Is that your butt?
Well, like your butt's part of your body, so sure.
Okay. Well, that sounds really good. Maybe they should do that. Spain, Emma, the women have won the Nations League and they qualify for the Olympics. Tell me about that.
Yay! They qualified for the Olympics for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Woo!
So that's super exciting. Yeah, they won the Nations League, which it's just glorified friendlies, right? Isn't it?
Like, it's something, isn't it? It's a trophy?
Yeah. But they're the first team to win the Nations League and the World Cup, so there's that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
They beat France 2-0.
Oh, good. Jesse, CONCACAF Champions Cup, second leg. Have you seen any of this?
Maybe.
Okay. Philadelphia Union 3, Saprissa of Costa Rica.
Oh, no. No, I haven't.
Okay.
No, no.
Three. So that was three each. Philadelphia Union go through 6-5 in aggregate, thanks to a 94th minute Mikael Ufre goal. He's Scandinavian, so no idea if I got that right. New England Revolution 3, Independiente of Panama 0. So Revolution go through 4-0 in aggregate. Houston Dynamo 1, St. Louis City 0. Houston Dynamo go through on away goals. Orlando City 3, Cavalry of Canada 1, so 6-1 in aggregate to Orlando City. FC Cincinnati 4, Cavalier of Jamaica 0, so Cincinnati go through 6-0 in aggregate. Nashville 4, Mocker of Dominica 0, so Nashville go through 7-0 on aggregate. So the next round, the last 16, there are 8 MLS teams, 2 Costa Rican teams, 4 Mexican teams, which includes a Super Clasico in the next round as Guadalajara play America. That'd be pretty cool. And finally, there is one Suriname team. They're called Robin Hood.
Not bad. I like that.
Yeah, they've got a really cool badge. I went on their Wikipedia page. Only one of their players has got his own Wikipedia page. That's Jamilo Rigtas. None of the others do. So big up to Robin Hood. But that Super Clasico would be fun, wouldn't it, Jesse?
Yes, it is, Chris. Yes, it is.
Yes. right, other leagues. Coming up this weekend in España, it is Real Madrid 65 points, Girona 59, Barcelona 57, Atleti 52, Valencia versus Real Madrid, Bilbao versus Barcelona, Mallorca versus Girona, Atletico versus Betis. But, Emma, I want to talk to you about Alfonso Davies. How fast how fast is this Real Madrid team going to be next season with Alfonso Davies, Vini Jr. and Kylian Mbappe?
Yeah, people are going to be getting sent off trying to kick them.
Oh, so
it's going to be extraordinary. Yeah,
it is going to be amazing. I cannot wait for next season for.
I can definitely wait for it.
I did say all they needed to do was buy Speedy Gonzalez, and that's sort of like the box set.
They're doing that thing again, aren't they? Where they're like, it's like they're playing FIFA, and it's not cool.
No, it isn't. But I can't.
I'm jealous.
Yeah, you'd love it if they were all for you. Yeah,
like my club is. I don't know, going to have to sell people's organs to, like, make money, so I don't know.
You got a bunch of organs, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Not you only need one kidney, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, do you sometimes wish...
Your liver regrows. We can make money here.
I'm sure somebody needs a spleen or an appendix for something.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
What price Robert Lewandowski's kidney? I mean, that must be worth a bit.
Hey, Frankie de Jong, you only need one lung. You don't run enough. Let's take it.
No, actually, I have played with football with someone on my team who was nicknamed Barry One Lung because his stamina wasn't great. No, he didn't have one. Well, I hope he didn't, because that's what we called him, because he couldn't run very fast. And he had poor stamina as well. So I hope he had both lungs.
He did have one lung.
Maybe he did. right, in Serie A, Inter are on 69 points, which is nice. Then it's Juventus on 57, 12 points behind. AC Milan 53, Bologna 48. Lazio versus AC Milan this weekend. It's Napoli Juve, Inter Genoa, Atalanta versus Bologna. Nathan, I've written dark Champions League horses for Inter. I know they got to the final last year, but they don't seem to be talked about with everybody else.
Hard to be dark horses.
All right, grey horses then.
Also beautiful.
Yeah, what do you reckon, Nathan?
Yeah, I mean, they always randomly seem to be there or thereabout, don't they? Do you know what I mean? Like, I think you're right in what you're saying. They don't kind of get any. They go under the radar every year.
Yeah.
And yet somehow we get to the Champions League final. I remember this last season. I was like, when did Inter Milan get to the final? Like, what happened? Where have I been? What have I mean, what the hell happened? Why are they in the final? I don't understand. But yeah, why not?
There we go. You've heard it here first, listeners. Last year's finalist could get to the final again. Tapped nose. in the Bundesliga, Bayer Leverkusen are on 61 points, Bayern Munich 53, Stuttgart 47, Borussia Dortmund 41. So it is Freiburg versus Bayern, Wolfsburg, Stuttgart, Union versus Dortmund, and Cologne versus Bayer. And in France, PSG 54, Brest 43, Monaco 41, and Nice 40. So it's Monaco versus PSG, Brest versus Le Havre, Toulouse versus Nice. Elsewhere in Queensland, in Australia, it's the Gold Coast Derby. It's Gold Coast United play Gold Coast Knights. In Trinidad, it's the Defence Force versus the Prisons. Who's going to win that one?
Why are they called prisons?
I don't know. Maybe they can't. Well, they are playing away, so I guess they're not actually in a prison.
It just makes me sad.
Ooh. Maybe they're on day release.
You think that's it? Maybe they're like Category C prisoners.
Yeah, they're like white collar crime guys.
There was a few years ago, who I like blanked out his name. In Brazil, one of the Brazilian players went to prison for murdering his girlfriend and feeding her body to his dogs.
Oh,
and then yeah,
oh, I remember reading about that.
Right, and don't you remember they organized? They literally like organized a prison league just so, I want to say Flamengo, but I might be wrong, could like sign him. There was some terrible, horrible, no good thing.
Oh, okay, no, I wasn't aware of that. In League Two, it is AFC Wimbledon versus MK Dons. Nathan, I imagine you are. Emma and Jesse, are you aware of MK Dons and AFC Wimbledon?
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In the MLS, Jesse, it's the Turnpike Derby. Who's that?
It's got to be New Jersey.
Okay.
And also Pennsylvania?
Wrong. Into Miami versus okay. Orlando City.
That's cool.
Do they also have a turnpike?
That's right. Yeah. No, that's wrong. They're wrong.
Okay. That's fine. I shall tell Wikipedia to change it.
Thank you. Okay. Okay,
what did you say it was? Into Miami versus who?
Orlando City.
Do they have
it just be like a Florida thing?
Maybe Florida. I don't really ever want to know what happens in Florida, but maybe they also have a turnpike?
They must
but they do. Can't steal what New Jersey's famous for.
Right. Diners and the turnpike.
Yeah.
In the A-League, it's the Sydney Derby as Sydney, Western Sydney Wanderers host Sydney FC. It's the F3 Derby, which isn't about tornadoes. Newcastle Jets play Central Coast Mariners. In Portugal, it's Porto versus Benfica. And in the Netherlands, it's the Kraken, which isn't about bottoms, Nathan. It's PSV versus Feyenoord. So, Premier League. Premier League, 3 o'clock on Saturday. It's Brentford versus Chelsea, the Ron Chopper Harris Derby. Ben Mee's out for the season. Christopher Nkunku is injured as well. He likes a bit of treatment table at Chelsea, does he? Chelsea won 10 out of 25 in the league. They only won 11 for the whole last season, so they're sort of on a par, on course to do better than last season. Brentford lost 5 out of 6 at home, 5 points above the relegation zone. They dropped 26 points from winning positions. Emma, I think I asked you this last week, didn't I? Are Brentford sort of everyone thinking, yeah, they'll be fine, and all of a sudden they're not?
I still think they'll be fine. Nothing's changed for me here. I still think they'll be fine.
Yeah, either of you two think Brentford could accidentally find themselves getting relegated?
No, because...
I think there's enough worse teams than them.
That's exactly right. Yep. Yep.
But does that not... I mean, we're not Brentford fans, so it's not like we've got a horse in the race. But if they sort of think that themselves... Is that not how you end up getting sort of sucked into it and all of a sudden you're in and you can't get out?
But do they think that themselves? It's like they're still trying.
I feel like they've got a good manager who wouldn't let them think that.
Even though they dropped all these points from winning positions?
Yeah, but that's because they're not great.
Yeah.
Not because they're failing.
Okay.
This opinion might be massively offensive to Brentford fans, so I'm going to apologise in advance, but given that that Brentford is still in the Premier League, as a Brentford fan, I'd still think that I was dreaming.
Aw, that's sweet, though.
Like, I don't mean that in a bad way at all. I think they've been brilliant. I think they've been a breath of fresh air, and I love watching them. I love what they're all about. But yeah, as a Brentford fan, coming up into the Premier League, maybe they were thinking this might not last for a long time, and yet they're still here. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. There's a good side and a bad side to that, and I mean it in a purely good way, not a bad way.
Listeners, Nathan is podcasting with a knife between his teeth tonight. 3 o'clock, Everton versus West Ham in the Paolo Di Canio catching the ball derby. Idrissa Gueye and Onana are both doubts Calvin Phillips is suspended. A little bit about Everton. So they're winless in nine. Their last win was on the 16th of December. They have got 8 league wins, though, which is the same as all of last season. So there's an upward trajectory there. But they've only scored 28 goals in the Premier League. But there's a bit of a yin and a yang to that. They have got the fourth best defence. So it's very confusing to analyse Everton, yeah.
If ever there was an advert for a Sean Dyche team, I think that's it.
Oh, really?
God, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, no goals and a good defence.
Yeah.
That's right there.
Yeah, I guess
that's
so.
A sweet spot.
Nathan, West Ham have won... won 1 out of 7 away. Where was their last win? I'm coming to you for a reason.
It could only mean that it was at the Emirates.
It was against Arsenal. But we'll see, you got your own back, didn't you?
I was going to say, it does not shock me in the slightest, to be
honest. Yeah. How do we think this one's going to go then, guys?
This could potentially be a really terrible advert for Premier League.
No, it's not on TV, is it?
It's 3 o'clock. So I get. Do you get to watch the 3 o'clock games over in that there, Spain?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, we do because we're not.
Your blackout does not concern us.
I was going to say, Chris, I think we're the only country where we can't watch 3 o'clock games.
Oh, okay. Will you be watching this one, or will you be watching another one? Either of you.
I will not be watching that.
Jesse?
As I would recommend to every fan.
Are you going to watch this one, Jesse?
I mean, I have no life, so like maybe, but not. I'm not like choosing to it out of excitement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last
not
on
going
that.
On my calendar.
Last time match of the day, Nathan?
That's not a bad shout, actually, mate. That's not a bad shout.
Okay.
If I was a betting man and that was on Sky Bet, I would genuinely consider it.
Ready, hey? 3 o'clock, Fulham versus Brighton. The Bobby Zamora Dami, Japlinia and Billy Gilmore are suspended. Matoma is going to miss the rest of the season for Brighton. That's a big miss. Fulham won 1 out of 5 at home. Brighton on a bit of a run so far. So in their last 20 Premier League games, they've drawn 9, lost 6, only won 5. Somehow they're still 7th. They've also made 96 changes to their starting 11 so far this season. That's 25 more than the next team. So, bit of tinkering there from De Zerbi. Brighton somehow still 7th, despite not having the best of runs, and Fulham not great at home. Emma, what do you reckon to this?
I think that Brighton have injury problems, right? Is that why he's changed so much?
Yes, I think so, yeah. Evan Ferguson's not scored for a long time either. Ansu Fati's been injured as well.
Yeah, my boy. I have no option but to be on the Brighton train because they have my boy.
Yeah. You the same, Jesse?
My precious boy.
We know I love Brighton. Always.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nathan?
I'm not sure if I saw something about Brighton having some key players returning this weekend from injury.
Oh.
Now, I didn't click on the link, and it could have come from any person on Twitter. So, take that with a pinch of salt. But if it's true, I will back Brighton.
Okay. Newcastle versus Wolves, 3 o'clock, David Kelly. Derby, not that David Kelly. Sven Botman available. Kuna and Hwang are out for Wolves. Newcastle haven't won at home since the 16th of December. They averaged 3.81 goals a game. Just a bit of context for that. In the 12 games that Nick Pope hasn't played in goal for Newcastle, they conceded 31 goals. Wolves, last 9 in the league, they've won 6, drawn 1, lost 2. Newcastle weren't great against you guys last week, were they, Nathan?
No, they were poor. Very, very poor.
You couldn't even blame any of the goals on Carrick, I don't think. It was just in front of him, everything happened.
Do you know what, funnily enough, I thought you had a really good game.
Yes.
I actually thought you played quite well.
Yeah, it was. I think Botman might have been responsible for one of the goals or something like that. There was definitely calamities in front of him, wasn't there?
I think Shearer went in on Botman, and I didn't hear or see his comments, but he went in on Botman, and I think Trippier was the other one that he tore to shreds and said, like, don't bother putting the Newcastle shirt on again or something to that effect.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, he wasn't happy.
No. I've got to be honest. I fast-forward through the analysis. I don't mind Alan Shearer, but I just don't want to listen to analysis. I just watch the games and the interviews, and that's it.
Yeah, they do tend to go down a bit of a rabbit hole, don't they?
Yeah, it's an hour and a half as well. There's only, I don't want to watch Danny Murphy analysing a game at 10 past midnight. No one needs that in their life. Jesse, how do you think this one's going to go?
Chris, I don't remember who we're talking about.
We are talking about Newcastle versus Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Oh. I don't know. Wolves have been kind of surprising.
Mm-hmm.
I could see them pulling it out.
Yeah? Emma?
Yeah.
Team Wolves.
Team Wolves. Not Team Wolves.
Not to be confused with Team Wolves.
Fair enough. Nottingham Forest versus Liverpool. 3 o'clock, the Nigel Clough derby. Nunes, woohoo! Says Bolstein and Endo. And Emma's favourite, Andy Robertson, are possible returns.
Oh, my God.
Housewife's favourite.
I'm not a housewife.
No, you're not. Not yet.
Andy
was the housewife's favourite, wasn't he? Yes. Nottingham Forest under Nuno. They won 3, drawn 1, lost 5. They scored and conceded in each game. Liverpool have scored 63 goals so far this season in the Premier League. That's the most of anybody. So, in the same way that there was going to be blood, there will be goals.
Or it could be 0-0, which would be hilarious.
After the build-up, I've given it. Divock Origi is playing. I
hope you celebrate.
If you score, I will be...
You'll be devastated.
Yeah, he was injured for the game at Anfield, thankfully, so he didn't play. Which is a shame, because he would have got a nice reception. But if he scores, I will be horrified.
Especially if it's the winning goal.
Yeah, in the 95th minute. Mm-hmm. It's not funny when it happens to you.
Don't I know
it? anyone see anything in the Liverpool win here?
Darwin was back.
Yes.
No,
and the handsome man.
Oh, I thought he was
the handsome man.
Yeah.
Who's the handsome man? Oh, Robbo.
Yes.
No.
This is Bonsai.
Oh my God. Yes. Yes.
Bonsai.
Bonsai.
That's what it sounded like.
He's obnoxiously handsome.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Then Liverpool will probably win.
Is he the handsome one now? Jordan Henderson's left. Is that what you're saying?
Sure. If you want.
Is he more or less handsome than Kevin Trapp?
Don't make me Google.
Or Thibaut Pinot.
Oh. But who can beat him? Like, his love of animals just, like, takes him through, right?
Well, exactly. His Instagram story the other day was he was in his farmyard and he was in his barn and he'd got a couple of dogs and there was a goat playing around with one of his donkeys.
See, I love that. Like, he's had a successful career in professional sport and went, no, I have had enough now. I'm going to live on my farm.
He does spend an awful lot of time watching football, drinking beer as well. So he's often in the ground. I think he's
what
Lons.
A fabulous life.
Honestly.
Good for him.
Jesse, have you seen the Netflix documentary?
Sorry, that was my dog sneezing. If you wanted to know what that noise was. Sorry.
Have you seen the Netflix documentary on him in the Tour de France yet?
No.
Oh, you should. It's beautiful, wholesome stuff, isn't it, Emma?
Yeah, it's amazing.
It will cheer you up. It will cheer you right up. Nathan, if you've got Netflix, you should watch it too.
Okay.
Spurs versus Crystal Palace in the Chris Armstrong derby at 3 o'clock. Richarlison and Pedro Porro are out, Jesse. Spurs have scored in their last 37 games in the league, but they haven't kept a clean sheet since the 15th of December. Palace are winless in 7 away, but they did look quite good last week, albeit against Burnley. But their super pressing was responsible for one of the goals. So that's a change people are seeing under Glasner already. But you happy, Jesse? You got manager of the month, Ange, as well.
Yes, and he deserves it, and I love him, but we're also shit. So everybody's broken. We have totally forgotten either that we have to defend or just how to defend. Sonny is really not sort of back to form yet. But you know what? We like each other, and that's what matters.
Is he okay? Like, I'm worried about him. Yeah.
I'm also worried about
some stuff.
Yeah. I know. Doesn't it feel like that, where he like came back from the Asian Cup just like less joyful?
Yeah.
It was quite the backlash against the South Korean team from home fans when they got back to South Korea.
Well, he tried his best.
I know. How big a miss is Pedro Porro going to be, in particular?
How what?
How big a miss will Pedro Porro be?
You know, he's been fantastic.
Hmm.
But I feel like... This is terrible. I'm going to jinx it all. I feel like we, our players, even though everybody's like broken and injured, they sort of rotate out. Like, it's not like every position gets injured at the same time.
Mm.
We're like, we will have, you know, one midfielder and two defenders completely broken, but then they trade, and the next week it's like the other midfielder is broken. Like, and I appreciate that sense of calendaring.
Yeah, at least they're not all out at once.
Yeah, whoever set up that Google Calendar did a good job.
question.
Go on, guess.
I have a question.
Yep.
Is Porro the one who had the alleged affair with João Felix's girlfriend?
What? First of
okay.
all, wait a second. How old is João Felix's girlfriend? Like 16? Because they're babies?
I don't know.
Oh, let me have a look.
Oh, no. Find
I'm
out,
sure that was
I
a thing.
Like him, but I don't condone that shit.
I feel like that was a thing.
Oh, no.
Here we go.
Did it happen?
Well, he's forced to deny he had an affair with her. Bear with me one second. This is a story from February last year. Pedro Porro and João Felix will fill the eyes of the world looking at any awkwardness from them. In 2022, Porro, who had joined Tottenham on loan from Sporting Lisbon, was forced, thanks to vicious online rumours, to deny he had an affair with Felix's partner. It appeared to stem from a video that Porro had his hat that saw Porro hand his shirt to Felix's girlfriend after a game, and one of them appearing to kiss at a nightclub. Dun, dun, dun. Porro hit back saying, "The situation that is happening yesterday and today is very uncomfortable. I have a special relationship with her. No one is being unfaithful to anyone. My image is not going to be stained by anything unless like things like these. I can do whatever I want. Stop.
Oh, God.
Stop staying in the image of the three of us because it's not like that."
That's not sounding like the greatest denial in the world.
No.
There is a picture of both players with their partners together having a nice time at a restaurant or something.
Oh, this is so upsetting. All right, maybe, I don't know.
Actually, oh my gosh. I don't know. So Pedro Porro's girlfriend and João Felix's girlfriend look very similar. It's like a
Maybe he confused João Felix's girlfriend for his own.
Maybe it was a Russ and Ross situation. But they look very similar.
I'm glad I brought that into your lives.
Oh. So upsetting.
I think the benchmark for these things is either Mauro Icardi and Juan Dinara or Kevin De Bruyne and Thibaut Courtois.
I mean, they are the gold standards.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, 10 years ago it would have been John Terry and Wayne Bridge, honestly. But nobody does it better than Mauro and Wanda.
Yeah.
Who are currently under investigation, I think, for people trafficking, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh, that's... Where you been? That's been a while.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Luton versus Aston Villa, 5:30 in the Steve Foster derby, who I think is one of those players that used to wear a headband. Luton lost their last three in the league, which I think started with that Sheffield United loss. Villa have won their last two away games, and Ollie Watkins has got 14 Premier League games so far. Is this a Villa win, guys?
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
Okay. Sunday, Burnley versus Bournemouth, Nathan, 1:00, the Wade Elliott derby.
Oh, God.
Burnley got 2 points in 2024 and conceded 32 goals at home this season. Unless in 2024. Bournemouth aren't doing much better. They've only got 3 points in 2024. Nathan, do you have a Sky subscription? And can you believe you're paying to watch this?
I do, and I cannot. But this is what I'm paying for. But do you know what? These teams deserve just as much You know, their fans deserve to watch their team just as much as anybody else in the league. So,
do they?
I was going to finish it with, unfortunately for the rest of us, we do have to persevere with each other. Yeah.
Fair enough.
But yeah, if you're asking me to pick a winner, I will pick Bournemouth.
Okay, do either of you two care enough to pick a winner?
Do we have to?
No. We can go straight into the next game if you want.
Yeah.
Because that is Manchester City versus Manchester United. 3:30, weirdly, in the Peter Schmeichel derby. Yeah. City won this fixture 6-3 last weekend. Last season. United lost last weekend, but won the previous four before that. City have won 4 out of 5. They have that draw with Chelsea, of course. Manchester United haven't been playing well, but they have been winning games and winning games late. Can we see something like that happening on Sunday, or is it going to be a Nordic Meat Shield masterclass?
Yeah,
Nathan.
Yeah, this could get real ugly for Man United. To be fair,
let's hope. Now, this could be worth paying your Sky subscription for.
Absolutely.
Nathan, how well will Bruno Fernandes do?
Oh my God, I hope he gets 2-footed in the chest.
What if he scores a hat trick?
Then I'd be even more annoyed with him.
Then I'm going to look forward to our group chat.
Monday night is Sheffield United versus Arsenal, 8 o'clock, the Paul Pesce-Cholido magnificent save derby. Sheffield United lost 4 out of 5, conceding 15. Arsenal have won their last 5, scoring 20. Nathan, Arsenal scored half as many goals in the Premier League in February as Manchester United have done all season. That's how well you do.
Well, I still think that we still need to sign a striker, apparently.
Well, you're not going to be able to. It's February or March.
I don't think that's untrue, though, is it?
No, but we'll gloss over it by putting, I think it's 25 or 30 goals in the last 6 games or something like that.
Is that sustainable, though? Are you going to...
Absolutely not. No, it's not sustainable at all. It's ridiculous. It's completely bonkers. Just stupidness. Never happens.
I mean,
it doesn't happen.
Enjoy it till you play Manchester City and get bumped 4-1 again and lose the league by 8 points.
Exactly that. Exactly what Arsenal season is travelling at the speed of light towards. It's all hope and expectation until Man City just batter all of that out of us.
When is that game? Let's have a look.
31st of March.
31st of March. Oh, and it's away as well. Oh no. Well,
it's literally giving the story writers the rest of the season off, isn't it?
Bad luck. Ladies, cheer him up.
Okay, yeah.
There are puppies in the world. Okay, you do. Yeah. You do it.
One, there are puppies in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Two, Bruno Fernandes might get kicked in the heart.
Ooh.
Three, this game will either be Arsenal will score double figures.
Yeah.
Or they will lose 1-0. There is no in between.
Yep, I totally agree with that.
Right. Okay. Anyone got any other business at all? We shall wrap this podcast up neatly in a little bow and stick it in the post. Right. Okay.
Oh, Chris.
Yes.
Where can people buy your book?
Well, buy my book. You can go to oakleybooks.co.uk and buy my book. And
it's good because it's free.
It's free? No, it's not free.
No, am I not enunciating well? I said it's good because it's great.
Oh, sorry. You're a long way away. The yogurt pot and the piece of string, it's sort of stretched out over the ocean. Sorry.
No, sorry.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Thank you for saying that. Right, guys. So we're Man of the Post. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Man of the Post. You can find us on Facebook as well. You can listen on Monday as... I want to say Dave,
every
Simon. It's because for about 5 years, for about 5 years, I started it with Ali, and sadly there is no Ali anymore. Well, he is there, but he's on the podcast anymore.
He's fine,
but he's just not on the podcast anymore. So I always used to start it with Ali. So Dave and Simon and possibly Chris and the other people. Carl. I'm so sorry.
Why don't you write it down?
I should do. Yeah, really in my serial killer handwriting that you saw last week. So yeah, Emma and Jesse, you're not on Twitter anymore. Nathan, can they follow you?
Yeah, I am at FMCM_FC.
Perfecto. And listeners, always remember to keep your man on the post.